today you see a pink one. And I always wonder, I never really got out to why this one has to be different, but I think this is key to unleashing a lot of things in your life, especially even in your spiritual life in relation to Jesus. And today is joy.
And so let us rise and begin our worship in the joy of the Lord. We got sound, baby. Let's begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being here. And because you are here, there is joy. And so, Lord, I pray that the joy you bring would be being filled in our hearts. That you would overwhelm us and give us a great joy to worship and to live in that joy as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.
We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opens the prison's doors. He parted the raging seas. My God, he holds the victory. Sing this out just like this. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. My God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout.
Woo-hoo. you can stay up here with your brother and mom, daddy. Let's stay up here. Watch. Everybody can see. Can you see? All right. You guys can be seated. I wonder if you guys can answer me a question. Okay? And you two know very well, because you do it, why would we light candles? Why do we light candles? You ever think about that? Why do we have you light candles when we start worship? Is it because they look good? No? Because they don't look good? Why do you think we light candles? Why do we light the little acolyte stick back there, right? You light it back there, and you come all the way up through here with it lit. We don't light it here. We light it back there. And you come all the way here and up there with the light. Why do we do that? It's part of our worship? Yeah, it is part of our worship. Yeah, it is something part of our worship. We tend to overlook it, but it's part of our worship. Yeah. Why do we do that? Let me ask this question. Does this cute boy Noah, does he have light in him? He does. Sure, he does. Where is it? In the heart? How does he have light? He laughs all the time. That's his light. Yeah, well, I'm glad you got. Oh, I know. You know what? We do this because just as he is incredibly cute and looks like he has light all by himself, because babies on themselves are just so joyful, right? But you're not the parent who stays up with them, but they're so joyful. But you know what? The Bible tells we're born of sin. And we have sin and darkness in us. And we gather here, we realize we need a Savior to save us. Who is the light of the world? Who is light of the world? Jesus is. And so when you bring that light in, you are reminding us that Jesus comes and meets us, and he comes to dwell with us, and he comes with grace and mercy. He comes first with his grace and mercy. And also he does that because even though Noah's adorable and cute and everything, he's got sin, and God says, this is my child which is lost. I want it to be found. And so he comes to us here in his baptism with grace and mercy. He comes to us first. And so we're reminded before we even start worship, God has come to us. The light of the world has come to save us. And that work that he saved us on that cross, through his word of promise and this water here together, he gives that great gift of life to Noah, to all of us. That's why this is so important. In fact, what does the Bible say? When one sinner repents, all heaven, what congregation? Rejoices. Can we say that a little happier? Rejoices. Thank you. It rejoices. They're happier. This is a joyous moment because heaven has come to us. Heaven has come here in his word and is given to him with great assurance, with great certainty, because God said. And God does what God says he does. Amen? There you go. So, is your desire as the parents that you believe God's going to do what he's going to say? He's going to redeem and give the gift of grace and forgiveness and salvation, and bring Noah into the family of God. Is it your desire for that, to have that for his life? Say yes with the help of God. And your desire to raise him in it and remind him that he is one with the sign of cross on his head and his heart, who has been redeemed by Jesus Christ. And say yes with the help of God. And congregation, God is going to do his work. He's going to get a gift, but this gift needs to be nurtured. It needs opportunities to grow. It needs to be invested in. And it is your desire to do that, with God's help, to help this baby grow in the faith and know how God has loved him. Even before he was born, God loved him and died for him. And as the Bible says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He gave his life for you, that you may know him and never have a day you don't know him and never have any doubt of his love. And will you help do that by providing opportunity, sharing the faith, and supporting it in his family? Oh, now you're anxious and excited. Yeah. Well, then it's my joy to share in the work of Jesus. Know you, Noah Matthew Anglican. I baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this white cloth, remember that God has forgiven you and has cleansed you from all in Christ's righteousness. And that's what he sees, the Christ in you, now and forever. Amen? Amen. All right, yes. Give a heart. These napkins for you. Certificate to help remember this day. That you know without a doubt that that gift, that light of Jesus, that joy of Jesus has come to you. And it's come to you, and you, and you, and you. And as we know, that's why we have joy. That's why we can laugh, and we celebrate, and we clap, and we cheer in church, because there's joy, because Christ is here. He's come to us with his grace. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your amazing grace that you come to us without doing anything or earning it or striving or even asking. You give this gracious gift, this priceless gift, freely and abundantly to us. And so it is joy we have. Oh my, you've chosen me. What a joy it is to be chosen by God and to live with you. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you guys go back to your seats and you guys can go to Children's Church and the rest of us can rise up and continue our worship as we sing this great song of peace.
So, y'all don't know this, but we get assigned songs sometimes, and sometimes those songs we get assigned, we don't know. So we get to spend the week in worship and preparing those things and allowing those songs to penetrate our hearts. I'm a word guy, so I don't just sing a song because I want to sing a song. I want to sing a song because I actually believe it and trust it in my heart. And so we were assigned a song with the word peace. That's the name of the song, peace. So you've already talked about peace, right? But here's, I love the Advent season because here's what happens. And this baby reminded me this morning that Christ came as a humble baby. And when he came, he brought, at the advent of Christ, he brought with him what we say is four gifts, right? Hope, peace. Today we're celebrating joy, and then we're going to talk about love. But he brought those gifts, and then I would say this, before joy today, we had the peace that passes all understanding. Amen. And so this morning, I want you to enter into worship along with me as I sing this song, and of which I've already spent time in the Word this week, and my heart is been blessed by it. But I would like to sing this with you today. It goes like this. And you could come with weapons in your hand, deep in the divide of God and man. You could be a cold and angry king, but in your mercy, Lord, you chose to thank you.
A master who would kneel to wash our feet. A warrior to suffer our defeat. The child that will deny our death its sting. O come, Emmanuel, and reign.
Come into your word, enter into your courts with praise and worship. Father, speak to our hearts as we think of the word joy,
and
as we consider the source of who brought that joy to us, the person of Jesus Christ. We love you,
Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
I think it's working, Matt. Well, good to see you all this morning. I'm Steve. I'm director of ministries here at Hope, and it's my joy to bring the message on joy. We've talked about, as you've already heard, and you see the candles, we've talked about hope, we've talked about peace. And I think perhaps this joy is kind of the centerpiece of the Christmas story. It seems to be the characteristic people talk most about. Certainly the story we're going to look at today with the shepherds is one of the most repeated parts of the story. There's lots of moving parts to the Christmas story, but folks always find their way back to the shepherds and the angels in the sky. And so this morning we're looking at Luke chapter 2, and we're going to talk about this idea of joy. I want to preface it before we read the scripture. I want to remind you that this is just a setup. It's not important. But I grew up in St. Louis. You might know that. Cardinals, Mizzou fan, Chiefs, who are going to play today in 22 degrees. Bless their hearts. So I have roots there, and I grew up watching the baseball Cardinals and Bob Gibson. Bob Gibson had a tremendous fastball as a pitcher, and then later all the other pitchers that have graced the baseball diamond there in St. Louis, and one of those most recently is Adam Wainwright. Adam Wainwright, they call Uncle Charlie, because he had an incredible curveball. So many times batters would start the game, and pitchers normally, often, will start the game, their first pitch will be a fastball. They want to make sure they can get a strike and start the ball down the middle. But Wainwright was famous for starting batters off with a curveball. It changed their perspective. They didn't know from then on what to expect. Well, I was not a pitcher. Matter of fact, I wasn't a hitter or a catcher or, you know. But I do want to throw you a curveball this morning, okay? Because as I look at this crowd, I'm going to guess not your first Advent. Is that fair? Yeah. And so you all think you know where we're headed. Well, I've been here long enough. You really should know better than that. But, yeah, it's not our first Advent. We expect a message on joy, and we expect that we're going to realize that joy is happy. No, it's not. Now, joy can be happy. But then James wouldn't make sense when he says, I count it joy when I'm going through trials. Well, that can't be happy. Joy is different. Joy, in fact, let me just give you the curveball up front, and then we'll read the scripture. I want you to begin to think about joy as not an emotion, not as a decision. My wife, by now you know, loves to shop. She has an addiction. We're working on it. But I often get dragged with her, which is really exciting for me. And I pass other men who are being dragged by their wife, and we always look at each other like, help me. And the sad eyes meet, because we'd all rather be watching football. So, but I have gotten in the habit of reading little placards, signs, little things that people make up. And I love to look at, watch those things, and I read them, and I look for them, because I love the way people can twist words and come up with these cute little sayings. But recently, this time of year, I see one all over the place. I choose joy. And I've noticed that and read it, and the first thing that crossed my mind was, no, you don't. Now, I get the sentiment. I choose joy. Means I want, the sentiment behind it is, I want to decide to be happy today. But you don't choose joy. You can decide what mood you're in. You can decide to get over your anger or let it out or pity party yourself. You could control emotion. You don't choose joy. You know why? I'm going to tell you why. It doesn't work that way. It's a gift. Let's look at this. Luke chapter 2. We've heard this story every year, Charlie Brown's Christmas show, right? Linus reads it. Right in the middle of the show, when Charlie Brown in desperation says, does anybody know the real meaning of Christmas? And Linus says, I do, Charlie Brown. And he reads our text this morning. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by the night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Now, verse 10 happens to be our memory verse, so let's say it together. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. We've heard the story over and over. And we look forward to Christmas for the warm, fuzzy feelings. We love to be with family. We love to go back through memory lane. We talk about our childhoods and we talk about our memories. We love the happy that comes with Christmas. Not everybody experiences happy, you know, at Christmas. But joy came at Christmas with Christ. As Patrick said, Christ brought four gifts. Christ brings joy with him. So if you have Christ in your life today, you have joy. You don't have to turn it on. You don't have to even look for it. It's there already. Let's look at this story. Let's see how this unfolds. Now, point number one, we preachers, when we write these messages, we love to show you how much we know. We have a lot of education. We've studied the book a lot. And so we want to start with the deep stuff. So number one, the night was dark. You're welcome. We want to begin there. Now, it is significant. It's significant because of the light and the joy that came in the dark. It matters because the world finds itself in the dark. The world finds itself stumbling around trying to make sense out of life, trying to find the real secret to happiness, trying to find a deep joy and purpose in their life. And yet the very first Christmas words are fear not. Fear not. Letter A. The very first Christmas words, fear not. Don't be afraid. It's okay. Now I'm thinking, if the heavens parted and there were a multitude of angels talking to me, I might have some fear. In fact, when we read the scriptures, we notice every single time someone encounters an angelic being, do you know what they do? Have you noticed what happens? They always hit the deck. They hit the deck. That's why I take a little issue with preachers at funerals that want to talk about the deceased bouncing into heaven and immediately explaining their personality taking over heaven. Like if Judy's funeral, if someone were to say, oh, I know she's already up there redecorating. Now, I'd be happy it was on somebody else's dime, but I don't think so. I don't think so. Just like I don't think jokesters hit heaven telling jokes. I don't think we immediately take our personality and display it, because I think it's going to take just a minute when we hit the presence of Christ. Don't you? I think it's going to be a minute when I see with my eyes what I've always believed with my heart. So the night is dark, and the first Christmas words, the first thing the angels hear is, "Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's all right." So we would say to you this morning, that on Christmas time, where is fear gripping you? Where's it got you? What are you anticipating? What are you regretting? What are you fearful of? What details are you sweating? What are you more worried about than perhaps you used to be? What hardship are you going through? What has grabbed your heart? What are you afraid of? Because we've got some good news. The good news is, number two, that joy meets us in our dark places. Good to know. That joy meets us. We don't have hoops to jump through. We don't have to beg God for it. We don't even have to seek God for it. All we have to do is respond when God calls. That's all. God comes for us. That's what Christmas is. God came to be with us, Emmanuel. And in your dark place, God is with you. He is coming to you. He is reaching out to you where you are in your dark place, so that you can know his comfort and, oh yeah, joy. In the middle of it, joy. Joy does not come from the inside of you. You don't manufacture it. That's why I take exception to the thinking that I choose joy. Even though I get it, I don't agree with it. It doesn't come from inside me. I don't get to just invent it. I don't turn on a mood all of a sudden to have joy well up in me. God gives it to me. Joy doesn't come from good circumstances. A lot of people think, I'll feel better, I'll have joy when things get better. What if they don't? What if they don't? I have reached a stage in life where everything hurts. You know? Some of you may be there with me. Steve's laughing really hard. Yeah, we get it. I long for the days when I could wake up like I used to and just kick the legs over and pew, go. Instead of having to kick the legs over and first try to feel them before I trust them to hold me up. So I've reached this point where there are times in my life where things aren't going the way I want them to go. It's not doing good. And yet, I have never counted on getting better to bring me joy. I have joy. God has given me joy. I have joy no matter what my circumstances. I can, with these shaky hands, I can throw soup halfway across the table. And others would be devastated around me, and I'm laughing. because I think it's funny. My hands won't do what they're supposed to do. I can't control things like I should control things. But there's a joy. I don't know why God's given me shaking hands. I don't know why he's allowing this come into my life. But there's a joy that I'm still in his hands. And just a bulletin, his don't shake. His are in no danger of dropping me or forgetting me or leaving me. That's where the joy comes. It doesn't come from the circumstances. And it doesn't come from the inside. Joy is a gift from God. It's a gift. God gives it. So I want to suggest to you, I don't know if I, did I ever give you the curveball? I think I forgot to give you the curveball. Thank you. Christy's back there like, no, dummy, you didn't give me the curveball. No, she didn't say dummy.
I did.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy in red next to her. No, I never gave you the curveball. Here's where I want to throw in the curveball, all right? Normally, we think of joy as happy. We think of joy as circumstantial. We think of joy as an outside influence to my inside emotion. Joy is a position. I want you to think about that. It's a position. It is where I am. It's where I live. It is in Christ. The joy comes with Christ. And so in Christ, I have a position. And with that position of having Christ in my life, I have joy because of him. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter how good things are or how bad things are. It doesn't matter the news that comes over the phone. What matters is who's in my heart and who's in whose hands am I. Joy is a gift. Therefore, joy is not fragile or fleeting. Joy isn't hard to hold on to. Joy isn't something I got to keep. Joy doesn't require me to practice things so that I can keep joy. No, it's not fragile. It's not fleeting. It's a position. It's where I am. So, Christ is the joy. Joy's in Jesus. That's why it doesn't matter about circumstance. Because nothing ever comes into my life that God has not either brought to me or allowed. There's no issue of a circumstance taking me out of God's care. Never. Never. God does not forsake us. God does not leave us. And in verse 11, we found these words, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And under point three, Savior because we need rescuing. He's our Savior. He is the one who cleanses us from our sin, restores us to a right relationship with God the Father. He, excuse me, he is our Savior. He's the Christ. He is the promised one. He is the Messiah. He's the one that over 300 prophecies are about. It's Him. Savior. Christ. The Lord. The Lord. God in the flesh. The God of the universe who comes to be with us, to be like us, to live every way as we live, to be tempted in every way as we are. And so joy is in Christ our Savior and our Lord. Joy is also universal and personal. This is the best news yet. This is the best news because God's joy, the joy in Christ, is for everybody. By now you surely know there is not a sin committed that Christ didn't come to cleanse. There's nothing you can do to keep the grace from God, to keep it from working in your life. God cleanses. It's universal. And it's also personal. It's mine. It's mine. You have your experience with Christ. I have my experience with Christ. They may not be alike in a lot of ways, but every one of us has the joy of Christ brought to our heart. He plants it. That's why I call it a position. It's my place through the grace and mercy of Christ. So it's universal and personal. In baptism, Jesus says, "You belong to me." In absolution, Jesus says your sins are forgiven. In the Lord's Supper, Jesus says my body and blood for you. Joy is for you. It's personal. It's ours. No one can take it from us. We can't sin our way out. God's forgiveness is always there for us. We simply open our heart. We simply receive what God has done for us. And that includes the gifts of forgiveness, grace, mercy, joy, peace, hope. And we'll yet to talk about love. You see, we can have joy in the real world. In all our affliction, I am overflowing with joy, 2 Corinthians 7. Colossians 1, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. James, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And Hebrews reminds us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Let me remind you, joy is not the absence of pain. Joy is the presence of Christ. I got to this point in the message at Inlet this morning, and in my preparation, this story never crossed my mind. But I got to this point, and it was just there. You got to tell that story. So I'm going to tell this story as we finish our thoughts today. I was living alone. I was broke. I had no job, no ministry. In fact, on this particular day, I hadn't eaten for 2 days. Now, just a little insight. Stevie and not eating do not go together. So I was beginning to get mad. And it was warm, so I took a walk in my neighborhood. I did have a place to live. So I took a walk in my neighborhood, and while I'm walking, I'm talking to the Lord, and I remember saying to him in somewhat angry disposition, because I'm hungry, and I don't see any light on the horizon for where my life's headed now, all of a sudden. What am I doing? What am I going to do? And I'm walking, and I said to the Lord, would $10 be too much? I was mad. And I just kept walking. And I see about 30 seconds in front of me, something laying in the street. I don't know what it is. I always tend to look down anyway because I find stuff. When you're this close to the ground, you can find lots of stuff. And I'm walking, and I walk up on a roll of quarters. You know how much a roll of quarters is? $10. I picked that up to make sure there really were quarters in it. And I just started laughing. And I am laughing like I can't stop. I can't control. That's, folks would say, well, you were letting out all your tension and your emotion. No, I'm just laughing. I'm laughing because I just yelled at God as if 10 bucks was too much for him. And his answer was, well, here you go, smart guy. Have a roll of quarters. Now, I'm telling you, I can get a little teary about it because I laughed all the way back to the house. I laughed because, not because I had finally 10 bucks, but I was laughing because I realized that I had just crossed God. I had just acted as if he didn't care, and he showed me that he did care. He showed me, I got you. No, dum-dum. 10 bucks is not too much. In fact, you can have it in quarters if you want it. And I realized he's got me. He's with me. There was joy in the midst of one of the most painful times in my life. But there was joy in the middle of it. And you will never, ever convince me God does not have a sense of humor. Oh, yes, he does. And he made me laugh for 10 minutes with a roll of quarters. Joy is not about getting out of a tough spot. Joy is not the absence of a hard time. Joy is the presence of Christ. And so, I want to encourage you to let joy awaken your heart. To do what the shepherds did. After they got the news, they seek Jesus. Let's go to Bethlehem. They seek him. They proclaim him. They left telling everybody what they had been told and discovered. And they worshiped Jesus. Open your hearts this morning. Seek him. Proclaim him. Worship him. And lastly, be transformed. Be changed by the Jesus in you. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful for the chance to be in your house. We're grateful for the presence you bring here, for your grace and your mercy, your word, your peace and understanding. We're grateful for your touch today as you reach to where we are, even if we're in a dark place. We thank you for not forsaking us. We thank you for always carrying us. Bless the truth of this word. May it grow in our hearts. May our lives not be the same. May we learn to walk in joy that is given to us in Jesus' name. Let's pray as we have been taught. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.
Thanks, Steve, and thanks for sharing that story. I couldn't help but laugh because I was thinking back when that story happened, probably a Happy Meal was a quarter, right? You're good for me. we continue our worship, and, it was just like joy that led the shepherds to go seek and to find out and to serve, and this joy transformed, took them back to an ordinary day, but it took them back with rejoicing and different because of this great gift. And we have a time of worship where it's a time of joy. Giving and our offering should not be a burden, but it's a joy that we have, because the joy that we receive is more greater than whenever we get back. And the Lord said, he loves a joyful giver. I mean, it's the only place he says he loves. Like, he loves us, yes, but to just put a scripture to it, he loves a joyful giver. Why? Because God is a joyful giver. He takes joy in giving good gifts to his children, and he gave his very best in Jesus. So therefore, we worship him with joy in our offerings and tithes. So in your worship folder, there's an offering envelope and a text to give, and there's opportunities to do that. Also, you have your connection card. If you have an opportunity to share on the backside, and we would love to hear like what God is doing and how we can help you grow in your faith. And man, if you confirmed your faith today or want to be baptized, please come talk to us. We'd love to share. There's a QR code there too. If you want devotions, or maybe you're new to the faith, or you've been around a church, you said, I've been a Christian, but I don't feel like I have my hands on it. I don't know what it's like to really be a disciple. I haven't been discipled. I've learned a lot, but never been discipled. And have a chance to be trained. We have opportunities to do that, and we'd love to meet with you and help you with that. Or you want to be more part of the church, then come to partnership class. You see plenty of opportunities to serve, coming up on Christmas Eve with different services. We would really greatly appreciate your help. There is a lot going on. It's a great opportunity to share the gospel with so many. So please take an opportunity, reflect on where you're at, and make a commitment to be part of it. Also, you can be part of it also with the poinsettias.
you have that form, whether you want to give an honor and dedication to, and then take that poinsettia home. So with that, we will continue our worship, and as we do, we invite you to just bring your offering, your connection cards up to the plates on either side as we continue to worship together.
In the morning when I In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, you can have all this world, but give me Jesus.